You're listening to the Ink and Paint Folk Podcast, a look at animation through the women and non-binary folk who make it. I'm your host, Cassie Soliday. Today's guest is stop-motion filmmaker Fu Yong. Fu is a Taiwanese filmmaker bringing unique handmade design that combines stop-motion traditional animation and motion graphics into her projects. Created award-winning animated shorts, both personal work and contributing to other collaborative projects, one of which is her short film called Fortune Cookie, which I adore. It has themes of mental health, and we dive deep into that topic in today's episode. You could tell she's passionate about finding entertaining and relatable ways to open up conversations and share her memories through craft and performance. In this episode, she shares her experience of recognizing the cause and burnout and how she's trying to break the pattern, learning to be resilient when facing self-doubt and dead ends, and managing to create a short independently with a tight deadline. So grab a beverage of your choice, sketch while you listen if you like, and enjoy.
Hello everyone, my name is Fu Yong. I'm a stop motion artist, and I originally come from Taiwan. In 2016, I come to Academy of Art in San Francisco and to learn traditional animation and stop motion animation. Since then, graduated in 2019. So I come to the show, I feel very surprised because I feel like I am someone who is still on the way to succeed.
And what about animation brings you joy?
To be honest, I didn't watch too much animations when I was young. Maybe more Japan and those cartoon, which is very nice and entertaining. But what I always more drawn to are live action films. Maybe influenced by my mom. And also, I love theater. I love the live performance. I am very easily cried during the live performance when there's music, the lighting, that. So it's even like when I go in, if I join to my friend's church, I am not very sure. It's because the live performance or it is because of the religion that made me want to cry. I am so confused that time. So, yeah. And why I do stop motion is because I told to a lot of people, like, it's a smaller scale for having the whole crew to create a production. I need 80 to 100 crew to do that. But for stop motion, I can do everything and build a world by myself. And the process of making a stop motion film, to me, is painful. It's the only enjoyment is when I start to play the thing I just animated. I see it start to move. Okay, that's a short happiness I have, but the rest are painful, but I just feel like I need to do it. Some obsession about it.
Yeah, it's enough to keep you going to the next frame and the next frame, seeing it all add up. Because you're like building towards something and you're making it alive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. And just your thing about like being a young professional and coming on the show, like I interview people at all stages. And I think that, you know, the best time to talk about what you're going through is when you're going through it. Like in terms of... Well, maybe it's not the best time because then it's like you have to process something. So what I'm saying is I feel like it's hard to emotionally speak to things that are really, really far in the past. Mm-hmm. So things that have happened recently that you have already processed are good to share, I think, for people that are coming up behind you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I love everything you were saying about like live theater and live events, because like I cry at live events too. They're just so beautiful. Like everyone showed up for this thing. Like it's so hard to get anyone to show up in groups for like a thing. So like when there's like hundreds or thousands of people here to listen to this one singer or this one musician or this performance, and it's like it's so fleeting. Anything could go wrong. I cry at World of Color all the time. It's the music and the visuals and the nighttime air. Like, it all comes together to be a live performance. So yeah. That's really cool that you found this niche between, you know, loving media, but also loving live performance and making stop motion. You know, you seem like a very hands-on person too, just from like, oh, I mean, obviously, because you are a stop motion animator and watching your like Instagram feeds and stuff. But anyways.
Thank you. Yeah. Like you said, it's the live action, the live performance and the stop motion, they both have the intention. You cannot reverse back and you need to kind of hold your breath to make it happen. And it sometimes needs some luck. To me, it needs some luck. And it's a pretty magical moment and also very hard. So if it works, it's a huge victory and satisfaction.
You know, it's not easy to make your own films, and you've mm-hmm. made a few now, and you've collaborated with others on their projects. I feel like there's a few different paths after college, you know, and let me know what you think. But I feel like either you're like, I can't wait to make my next film, you know, with everything that I've learned and keep making films and getting your work out there. And then the other one is like, I have to make work that will get me into a studio. You've taken this more independent, you know, self-driven path where no one has to give you approval for what you do next.
Yeah.
And the other one is like kind of waiting for approval. I feel that the really cool thing about the path of making your own stuff is that you'll be sought after for what you can do and for your personal voice.
I guess the thing I need to, thanks to my study program, when I was at Academy of Art, my thesis film, they are highly encourage us to do everything by ourselves. If we go to collaborative project, then it will go to Studio X. That's another program. You have so great, so many talented people working together. But mine, I just simply go to just thesis. And so I experience from the start to finish. I experience everything. And why do I keep doing independent film? There is one very honest fact is that because what I learned are so general, my skill is general. I'm not very super high skill on any perspective. I am an animator. I think I can do very well, but I don't have a bunch of examples to show you. Only focus on animating. And I can editing. I know about timing, but there's not studio looking for someone that they want you to know every aspect, things like that. So while I am searching for a job, but also I know, okay, in my the greatest experience or made the scale better is, okay, I just do another one for myself. Just do it and then keep showing people I am on this path, I am interested. Yeah, things like that. And the studio I apply for are more like mixed media. Like they are looking for everything. But that those kind of studio usually have very small team or group. They are not very actively always looking for artists to join the team. So it's a dilemma. I'm saying, okay, well, I'm doing my own. And I say, maybe I just go for maybe looking for grant or just be an entrepreneur. That thing, learn to be that and be strong. And maybe I can help more students out of the school. I can help them. I can hire them. So that become a new passion for me.
And like when you say that, like the studios you are applying for with the mixed media mm-hmm. and stop motion studios, a lot of them are small boutique yeah. studios of like, you know, 1 to 3, 4 people, kind of like, you know, you and your husband, right? Because you guys yes. have your own studio together. So that must be tough. There's not even that many like stop motion movies or shows happening. So when we say niche industry, it is very niche. Mm. But I think the amazing thing about like your work is that, you know, like the designs are very simple and clear. Like you had done like character designs for a book, you know, and you had the process yeah. on your website. Yeah. And they're just so charming and so clean and disarmingly simple. But obviously, like a lot of thought of work went into them. They're just very clean is what I'm saying.
Thank you.
I think you're underselling your designs and everything. And so getting to your like short films, like the storytelling is very clean, clear and simple, but it's packed with this very heavy emotional punch. And and specifically talking about your new one, Fortune Cookie, which that won't be public for a while, right? That's going to be going to
Start to a festival. But most closely we can see will be in the last month of June. That will be a festival broadcasting. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I hope everyone gets a chance to see it. It's 3 minutes, but like I'm going to be thinking about it like, my entire life. It's so good.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I feel like also as artists, we get like so excited to make a film and we're like, I'm going to make like a 20-minute short film. And it's like, no, like you made a beautiful 3-minute film and the emotional impact, I feel like it'll stay with a lot of people. It definitely, I resonated with it so much. I feel like with whatever you know you're good at, you know how to exercise that skill, you know.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's very important for me to know how you feel, because you are a writer, you are a storyteller, so I always want to hear like people like you to think about it.
And I like all the media that you have about cookies, because I also watch Cookie Cutter, like when it first released in 2020, I believe. And that one was like alarmingly like, what the heck? It's so dark.
That's why I got that project. I'm so interested in that because of the dark side.
Yeah, it was really good. It did not go the way I thought it was going to go. Like, and I love that when stories can like trick me, because I'm like, I'm a writer, I can predict where this is going. And then when they don't, when I can't, it twists. I'm like, oh gosh, that's amazing. I love that. So that film is viewable online. So everyone go check it out. But okay, back to Fortune Cookie. It's about a fortune cookie on a journey, and the fortune cookie will have to give something up to get to its destination. And and it's about mental health at the end of the day, and burnout, I would say. Definitely something I hit like all the time, which is super silly, because it's like after hitting burnout so many times, don't you think you'd figure out how to not? But nope, not yet. So like, did this film come out of like a personal experience? It seems very personal. So I'd love to hear about where you got the idea.
So yeah, Fortune Cookie is definitely 100% from my life experience. I just kind of wrap it inside a metaphorical tale. So got some distance. So the audience, I hope they can have their own interpretation about what this story is about. So from my own experience is that I'm thankful and also very lucky. I got some experience right away close when I'm about to graduate or even graduate to work on some projects. And I start to see some pattern. I feel like I am someone who's kind of desperately want to prove myself to those professionals. And I found those place I worked, those people, they are very charismatic. They are very charming. They are very good at talking. But when time passed, I just feel like sometimes they are really doing the model, like fake it until you make it. I start to see some fake way. They actually don't know what they are doing. And they are not, the way they are dealing with us, the process of how to produce certain projects, I just found out I know a little better. I know more. And I understand with that type of workflow, it's better to be treat so be nicely. For example, like maybe give us some more fees, some more salary if they can, or just let us to work more easier instead of you keep saying we need to edit it again, we need to edit it again, but you are not really reviewed the project, so your ignorance just make us work more and wasting our time. And they were saying like both or all the places I met happened, they would say we want to have start up a new team, for example, like an animation team, we want to start to have this. We are so young. We want it. And you just join us. In the future, we're going to hire you. I always like startup studio kind of concept. I feel like I can help with my knowledge, what I learned. And I believe I can get hired. And yeah, but later on, it just, oh, poof. And anything just not like what they say, but they got what they want at that moment. So it's like I keep giving out, keep proving myself, work so hard. And sometimes I even don't get the credit. I even got mixed with another Asian people, another, my very best friend. I'm proud, like, if people think I am them, but still, like, if it's about credit, I work so hard and you name the wrong name. And to the people maybe can affect my career path, then that's so frustrated. So all the things, I try, and it just lead to burnout. Like, I don't know what to do. I feel so hopeless. Yeah, so I think Fortune Cookie, this film, is like, after all the things, I finally felt the courage to know that I should just walk away. Like, just, oh, thank you. Okay. I guess, okay, I still stick to wrap up that project because I don't want to have a bad reputation about just run away from something. But that was so painful. After I finished it, I finally walk away and then start to rethink what just happened. And I feel that emotion. What helped me more is that I shouldn't see them as a enemy or bad person. I should just see them as someone who really doesn't educate themselves enough about certain work or the style, how they work in the animation or illustration, this art project. They just don't know. So their ignorance caused the working environment so painful. So like in the film, I have some very unrecognizable, I call them creature. I try to call them monster because monster is more like a negative way, but creature is more like they are doing what they do. They have big mouth, they have big claws. They eat whatever they can. They grab whatever they see. So those are represent those people I met, and they just keep consuming me and stopping me to go to a better place I want. So that is under that kind of background. So I create this film.
Wow. Yeah, I relate to so many things in what you were saying. I've met people like that who just seem like they know what they're talking about. And you slowly start to realize that they might not know like a ton about the medium that they hired you for your expertise for.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's some like, you know, incidental gaslighting. Like, I hope it's not on purpose, right? But like sometimes you'll get someone from a whole different industry hiring you for, you know, your talents and then telling you how it's supposed to be done. And then you're like, oh, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And then that's very taxing when you finally realize I should have just pushed like what I know to be right or talked it out more. It gets messy, you know, the creative process and merging it with commercialism. And yeah, people ask a lot of you. You know, I think it's admirable that you try to stick it out to the end of the projects. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like, you know, mental health, if you can walk away, I don't think, you know, reputation wise, I wish it would be acceptable because if you're in a rotten situation that is like doing you harm, you know, like walking away should be just a clear, firm boundary that doesn't come back to bite you in the rump, you know, on a future job. Because it's like, if it's just the reputation with that company or with that crew, well, you don't want to go back to that anyways.
Yeah. And also the hard part for me is like, because I'm working for a nonprofit and what they are doing, what they say on their website is to go for justice and looking for diversity. And so their projects are very cool. They are supporting all kinds of minorities and just want to show the right way, especially, yeah, Black Lives Matter and all the Asian hate. And they are ringing those bells. That's why I feel passionate. I want to be as part of this team. But it is while I was working with them, I found I'm just, it just doesn't the same as what they do. They ignore, they didn't do the same thing, especially maybe on my side. So I would question myself, is that really my problem? Like, am I not capable of holding the pressure enough? And what they are saying is often to like, we are doing something good for the society. We are doing something. Project itself has no problem. But is that mean I need to do charity for you without having any salary or have any good service fee to feed myself? Is it because I work on something great that I need to sacrifice myself? But I am, come on, I'm also a minority here. Did you see me? I need help. I want to work. Like you said, I want to work in a team and help with more project and just keep it running. But you cannot just let me hang there and doing free for you and keep still like give me some guilt about I don't support this good project. So it's like that. The more I think, the more I feel like, wait a minute. And I talked to some people I trust and who's also in this area. When they hear all these terms they are using or even the contract they are writing, they're saying, no, this is so wrong. This is super wrong. Like, you should just step away. You have no fault about it. Like, you do too much.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. Yeah.
Yeah, you are taking advantage of. You should just go away. So, yeah.
Yeah, that really sucks. I'm sorry that, you know, you went through that. Some of these DEI initiatives are, I think, well-meaning, but especially at the end of that one, it did more harm to you than good. And There's a lot of like fellowship programs in Hollywood and probably in other industries too, where they're like, you know, we want to help, we want to promote people of color and get more diverse voices out there. But then sometimes they're unpaid, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, there's not always a job at the end of it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how much are people sacrificing to put themselves through this good opportunity with that won't actually push them more forward? And going back to, and I know it's hard and it is a privilege to make space in your life to make your own projects, but we need more diverse voices. You can tell your story and your personal story or just stories in general and get them out yourself. That's a really privileged thing to say, though, isn't it? But
yeah, I am thankful because this experience, I wish I don't have it, but I'm also happy that it's me to get it because I'm lucky to have a great people surround me that keeps supporting me when they hear what I'm met. This kind of situation, they're still there for me. They understand who I am and what am I going for. So I'm happy it's not happened to someone who's coming from a foreign country and fight alone, no one else around them. What should they do? So this film, I just hope that those people can be awake, both for the young professionals or students, be awake to knowing that what makes you burn out, what is the pattern make you burn out, what caused you, and is that really a fearful fact that really will defeat you, or it's just an imagination? There's always a way. So you just need to find more information and educate ourselves. The way I jump out of that burnout loop for that case is because there are so many great, like very great information, like Cassie's podcast, In Campaign, Rise Up Animation, like so many panels so many. And because of their sharing that I know, oh, this is wrong, this is right, this is how something should do. So that just make me fully recognize and be aware that, oh, okay, this has some alarm on it.
So true. Yeah, sometimes if you haven't experienced something, you don't know if it's you or yeah. them or the problem. And sometimes it's very gray area, you know. There's some really weird situations out there where you're like, why would that happen? But yeah, there's easy ways to be gaslit out there. So I love that advice of, you know, listening to podcasts and all these amazing free events like Rise Up, and Black and Animated has a podcast as well. It's really wonderful. Creative Block on YouTube, and your podcast too, Nice Shorts. Like I love listening to the, you know, about people who make their own shorts. That's so cool.
Thank you. I want to thank to all the previous guests. We actually during making this film, we kind of rest a bit. I want to fully thanks to Johnny Nito, my co-host, like helping me keep slowly make it working. So we'll have a new one coming up, and that guest is also inspired me so much. Thank you.
And I feel like, I don't know if you feel this way, but at the end of the day, I feel like I make this podcast for myself to keep going, because it's really hard, you know. And, you know, like in your film, like in everything you were just saying, you're giving yourself away to so many projects and so many people that like you really need to fill the well. And, you know, I feel like you and I probably do this for the same reason, where it's like connecting with people and making things for them to take with them, right? To make them happy, sad, think a little bit, get to connect with someone and just talk about the things you love. So,
I think to me, Nice Shorts is because earlier I do help other organization to do this program. That's always a program I'm fully interested in. I just don't have the courage to do so. But it's also, through experience and through learning, I feel like if I want to search the answer for myself, I need to step out and be the face, just use my face to interview and interact with others. I'm so afraid of that because English also not my first language. So, but I just need to try, and I need to, everyone are doing so great things on podcast. And I just found what I can do. I have certain aspect I want to hit to service, offer service for a certain group of people. So what I focus are, still stick on what can we offer for students or early graduate, like try to be a closer step compared to the professional. Like that's something next step you can try. There's some technical skill in making a film. What are tips, like you can do it yourself, the things like that.
That's great. And you make videos on the podcast, right? To show certain things?
Yeah, video version.
I think that's great, because that's one thing that I keep thinking about where, you know, if we sometimes talk about certain techniques and it's like, well, that's really difficult to show on audio. So I love when podcasts do that, and that you do that too.
That's a lot of work though.
I don't want more work. That's already why this podcast is so intermittent as it is.
It's good. It's good. Yeah.
Which is another way of giving away ourselves too, kind of going back to the previous, you know, fortune cookie, like, you know, talk about the things we give away to other people and other people's projects or, you know, jobs, you know, or friends, family. Like we also do it to ourselves, right? There's only so much of us to give. And still trying to figure out how to simplify personally.
I feel making my own film, to be more strict, like Telltale is my thesis film. It's also talking about my personal story, but it's not as that obvious. It's very abstract. But Fortune Cookies start to step more forward, like to reveal a little more about me. But I think it is still not, it is not visually or like the set and every design as clear as enough. It's still kind of an abstract idea, but the story is so solid. Mm-hmm. And I think these two films, after I finished it and I shared to more people and got interview and to rethink in my thought, it's a relief. Like you just say something out, you speak out, and it's there. It just felt much better and healthier instead of holding those toxic feelings. And actually people understand you when you know that. And if that's a fact that you can kind of affect how other people to see these certain topics, it's just a bonus. So I seldom do selfie as I love to write, but lately I don't write much. So a film become a souvenir or a memory for what happened in my life. Yeah, that's, it's a so record.
Cool. Yeah, for sure. I'm just so impressed with how, like you said, it's a little less abstract than your other, short, but yeah. I still feel like it's still pretty abstract, but in a super simplified way where it's not simple. clearly so much work was in this, but you simplified it down to the bare bones that you need to tell the story. And it's so clear. And I never thought about, burnout in this visual way. Mm. And I've been thinking about it ever since I watched it. So this is going to make some personal changes, I hope, for me. Cause it's finally a concept that I understand, after watching it,
Thank you so much. That means a lot. Yeah. I hope we can show to populate soon. I hope so.
I hope so too. And when it does go public online, after the film festival circuit, I'll post when it goes up and then remind everyone to come back to this episode after they watch it.
Thank you so much.
Of course. So you had mentioned earlier that you wrote a grant for this short. So can you talk about that process and what it was like?
Yeah. I start to follow, there's an organization called Art with Impact. And I start to know that organization because they monthly are giving 1,000, sometimes it might change. It's like a word. Monthly, they select mental health related film. Short film. They are looking for it. So at that time, I put my telltale to there and into the competition, but just realized, my film is a few months older than their deadline. But what is so great about that experience that the organization, those staff, they are actively having a conversation with you. They are not give me your film. They are really human related to connect with you. Yeah. And then give me a very full and great explanation of, why your film cannot get in. And that's, now I get it. So later I just saw they have annually program called Voice with Impact. And that will give you grant. And on my round, it is a 7,500 grant. It's not a lot. But I think it's a good start for the budget of my film. I've already have idea for Fortune Cookie, this film, for a while. And as I see what they are looking for this year is burnout and climate change, which cause you have mental anxiety. And burnout and just a lot of ringing in my head, oh my God, I really need to try it. So yeah, that grant even give you, they'll give you guideline. Not only guideline, they give you Zoom. You can join the Zoom meeting and they'll tell you what they are looking for. So clear. The process is so clear and their service so well. Just answer all the questions you need. So based on those guidelines, I just Yeah, I just start with a proposal. They will tell you what you should prepare. For example, your log line and who you are and why this film and how your budget might be used. Visual development, they are this organization, this pitch pack is different from others I saw, is that they are fine if you don't have, you haven't developed much visual stuff yet. It's okay. A simple mood board is fine. What they are looking for really is the story, why you want to make this film, why. So I think that is real story that really made them also impact them. They feel like this should be something to be supported. And also because I've told them I want to do a stop motion film, and the staff often to love stop motion. They are excited. We want to have a stop motion film in the collection, things like that. So I am very thankful. Everything just match what they are looking at. And I highly recommend anyone who's interested in the mental health topic, you can just follow Art with Impact. The staff are really good. And also the film they selected years after years, they are, to me, they are top of the top. They are really great filmmakers. They got so many experience. So that's something you can connect with. And there are some also, after you got the grant, there will some hang out online, and you can just get to know these people and inspire each other. So yeah, that's kind of roughly how the grant goes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And you were so cool to share your proposal with me. Yeah. And I keep saying this on this episode, but I love how clear it is and direct. Your mood board is great. I like that you had images from your previous works that you could, you call it relevant work,
yeah,
to show that like it's still in the vein of style that you've done before. So you could definitely deliver on it.
Yeah.
And you also include your schedule and budget breakdown, which I think is so great. Like, we don't have to do that when we pitch like animated shows or anything, or at least as a creator. I'm sure like when you start pitching it with, you know, production companies, you probably do that. But I haven't seen a lot of these. But one thing with your production schedule, it's a 4-month schedule and you focus on each act, which I think is really cool. You're like breaking it down into smaller pieces to focus on. And I'm sure space, you know, the available space goes into that too.
Yeah.
But I really love how clear this is, that to even like someone who may not know how stop motion is made, they would be able to understand all the things that you need and would be doing, you know. And you made this short. Do you mind if I say the total price?
Yeah.
So you predicted it would be $7,500.
Yeah.
Was it that, or did it go over or under?
Like from my budget, I also calculate festival submission, like $500 or something.
Really?
That's
pretty expensive.
Low. Yeah. It's more expensive now. And so now, if only for the budget, including I collaborate with my composer, that included. So it's close to 7,000. Yeah. So 6,800 something, that is the final I do, not including festival submission. So definitely will be higher more. And also, yeah, these budgets are purely just for making the film, all the material, because I just reestablished my stop motion studio. So the lighting, the camera and something, everything's new. So those all dump into this production. Nothing for me, really. I am lucky enough that I got supported by my husband. He's working. So I'm just focusing on the film. He's focusing on the working. So that works. Not everyone can be work like this kind of schedule. Yeah.
But it's, if you have it, use it, you know?
Yeah. I'm grateful. And I work so hard, like try to like, I know I'm not having income for now, but I am making something and try to be better every time. Yeah.
And I feel like if you are in a situation where you can do it, it's an investment in your voice and your future, because like this could lead to bigger things too, you know?
Yeah. Like all the equipments and those things we can reuse. And actually, I am jumping to a project which have support. Like it's a career now. Like those things will just keep turning, spinning. So that's great. And another thing I can share is that about the timeline. That is my rough evaluation. But actually, my deadline is beginning of April. But actually, I work it until late April. Like I spend one more month on it. It should be a no-no. Like I am so guilty to not finish by the deadline. I usually don't do that, but this project, it's only me doing all the visual work, everything. So it's very fatigue when as it goes later of the production, but very important is just keep communicating. Like I communicate with my consultant from Art with Impact. I am at very, very early stage. I know this will be late. This is more work than I think. I see it. So I tell him very early, say, his name is Chris, very wonderful person. Like, Chris, I feel my production will be later than the deadline. Is there anything we can, is it ever possible we can push a little bit or something? Is there anything we can do? I just want you to know. And he's helping all the time. Like he giving me a certain range, and he say it is because you let me know how are you. And yeah, also during the grant, the organizer, what they are talking with me is not about, hey Fu, how's your project, how's it going? No, they are focusing on you. So even my mentor is, they the beginning of email are always say, how are you, how do you feeling, how's it going? How do you feel about this project? It's all about you, because you are the engine to run this project. So their priority is you. Yeah, so all this experience is so wonderful and feel so appreciated that because of their help and my limitation, but we have one more month to finish it, but we did it. Like, and they're still so happy and like, yes, this film, yeah, worth this time. Like, we know you need it. So yeah, let's just make it. This is really a great experience.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm going to remember that for when I email people. Like, I usually say, I hope you're doing well, like to remember the human behind the thing. But yeah, you get a lot of work emails that address to the point, which is probably good and quicker, but also it feels a little dehumanizing sometimes, huh?
Yeah, just very interesting from their perspective. Yeah, I guess there's no right or wrong, but maybe I happen to be, I'm just recovering from burnout. So they fully realize I am making a burnout film while I am burning out. So they are trying just to take good care of my mental. Otherwise, they lose the point of why they want to have this program. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I imagine while animating, you know, your main character, like putting your emotion, thinking through the character's emotion, like,
yeah.
Because I do that when I'm writing, I'll start feeling what the character's feeling. Frowning. And then I just like, oh my God, I'm so depressed right now.
Yeah. About the emotion in the performance, I think one thing very cool I got from Chris, because he's my story consultant. So while I'm describing, he's read my proposal and he written an emotion flow in words for me. So because this film doesn't have dialogue, so how your gesture, how you react to each other, these characters, the performing is so important. So he say, okay, I hope this help. I give you the emotion flow. You based on those emotion, then you start to think what your character should move. Use the emotion to drive your story forward. Like, and I love that thinking how he approached.
Definitely take that moving forward. Because you really do have a lot of things to track, you know?
Yeah.
And I could see that, especially when you're doing a solo project for the most part, right? Mm. Like, because I know you collaborate with a musician and composer. So, but you're doing everything else on your own. And there's so many things to keep track of as the director. So making those notes for yourself before you really get into the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. I wanted to also ask, because like, so you have like an artist statement in here where it talks about you. You also say, you know, why this topic is important to you. It's also something we do when we pitch shows is, you know, why me, why now, why this topic? Mm. One of the things I find interesting about like pitching and doing decks are talking about this idea as it already exists. Because it's not like, oh, I want to do this because blah, blah, blah. It's like, this is a show by me about this, you know, and it's a 3D show, comedy, 6 to 11, whatever it is. Yeah. But like it legitimately does not exist. It is in your head.
Yeah,
I guess the idea for what it will be exists in your head. So can you talk about, did you have any obstacles in like preparing the proposal, thinking about how to make this sound like it already exists?
One thing now I think of the obstacle, like how should I tell the story? Like I have a comic, very simple comic, beginning. That's the thing I want to talk about, but how to translate that into fortune cookie. Yeah, one thing helped me is I have a book, it's all about symbol. So I forgot the book's name, but it's like the book of symbol. It's pretty thick. I start to look through all the elements, the tree, the cave, what do they mention, the something. Yeah, and I found some elements. I feel like, hey, it's kind of something I want to talk about, especially the emotion in a psychological way, like, what's that mean? Things like that. So, yeah, I found those elements. They talk about color. I select some color I think of, and then based on the priority, I limit it more and more and more until things get more clear. Even the character design, Fortune Cookie, I choose that is because that cookie is kind of a symbol about Asian people in America. Because in Taiwan, we don't have fortune cookie at all. It is until I come to America, I'm like, oh, wow, is something about that?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, oh, it's a very interesting to look at that as a symbol to say we, these people. And then, yeah. And also, like the creature, I really don't know what they should look like, but I think of they are consuming others. So I forgot the fish name. It's like under the shark or something. They're
like parasite.
Kind of, maybe. Yeah, and the mouth is so round with a lot of teeth, layers and layers.
Oh, I don't know that one then, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. I forgot the name. But also, the symbol book also talk about what's the mouth relate to? What's the claws can mention to us? Oh my God, I just exaggerate those. So some of the designing part, visually, like I solve those obstacles by flipping out the book. Yeah, to make it more precise. And about the story, how do I want to end it? And I actually can stop at a certain point, like the fortune cookie character is reading something about his fortune. I can stop there. And or do I want it to be a more bright side of the end? Like I can give some hope to the audience. Like it is a choice. In the end, I still want some people to feel hopeful a little bit. It's sad. The trauma is there. You can see that in the end, but there's hope. You can walk away. So that's been some time to keep asking myself, like, this is a tool. The film is a tool. What do you want to tell others? And then through those questions, and I solve those obstacles. Yeah.
Lots of deep thinking. Gosh. You must be so proud now that it's like completed and like ready to start its maiden voyage on the circuit. What do you like about, you know, sending films to like film festivals?
Oh, I don't have too much thinking about festival, actually. I think my first film, I just send it to everywhere I can. A lot of free stuff, free festival. That's what I can afford. But now I know that I'm looking for, like now I'm in St. Louis, so I'm looking for the local one and I can be joining person. So others, I also hope I can be there and talk about it because it's, yeah, the film I want to talk about, the thing behind it, it's not just about technical, how I make it, things like that.
Yeah. Mm. That's cool. You should look into Chicago. They have some good film festivals. Yeah. And okay. They have an animation. I think they have a couple animation. That's one of them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask you, is my film okay for children? I'm not sure. A lot of people, adult people say it's scary.
I mean, it is. But I think it would be good for children. You know, if they happen to see it, I don't think it's a problem personally. But I mean, those judges will let you know. Of course. Okay. If the fee to enter is reasonable, yeah. I think go ahead, you know, because the worst they could say is no, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's bloated, I don't know. I'm not sure on that. Before we get to like the final questions, is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we maybe didn't cover?
I think I just a lot of things. And just hope everyone just believe in ourselves, continue educate ourselves and believe in ourselves. And remember to share your issue with people you trust. It's really helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Who is one of your favorite fictional characters and why?
I like Wizard. So maybe Gandalf or Dumbledore. Yeah,
I love
it. Those like I like people who has full wisdom and try to serve others instead of treat themselves selfishly. So I drawn to that. Yeah,
oh, I love that. That's so cool. So who is one of your favorite creative people out there and why?
Creative people, that's a lot. That's I too know. Much.
These are evil questions. I know.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Threadwood.
Oh, Threadwood's great. Yeah. Yeah. Stop Motion.
Yes.
Studio.
Yeah. I secretly see them as my mentor, even though I'm not their mentee, but I learn from them.
The thing about mentorship, you get it where you can, even if it's fleeting moments.
Yeah. Yeah. And also Tiny Inventions. Like, it's also a powerful, like, creative couple. Tiny Invention. Yeah.
I will look them up. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So very last question. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you first graduated?
I wish I knew is be better at tell who that person is, like see their true color. If someone is so talkative and you feel like your interaction with them, they really don't care about you. They never follow you. They never ask you how you've been doing. Those people, you can think secondly, do you really want to collaborate with them?
Always be discerning when thinking about who to collaborate.
Yeah.
Especially when they don't pay.
Yeah. Is there a small thing I can mention?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to thank you to my composer, Wang Jili. Yeah. She has also have very impactful burnout feeling. So that's also why I'm so happy she's on this project. And also, whoever can see my film, all the people on the credit, those are the person who helped me through my difficulties. They are even more, but yeah, those are very essential. Thank you.
Lovely. Oh, it's been so wonderful talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Cassie. I'm so happy to see you.
So happy to see you. Now we've seen each other in real life. Well, in virtual real life.
Virtually. Yeah. Thank you.
Ink and Paint Folk is produced in partnership with Women in Animation, an organization dedicated to advancing women in the field of animation and reaching 50-50 by year 2025. Learn more at womeninanimation.org. This episode was produced by me, Cassie Soliday, music by Dominique Parker, edited by Daniel Rotorik. All opinions expressed here are our own and do not represent those of our respective employers. Until next time, this has been the Ink and Paint Folk Podcast. Stay colorful.